"Are you any good with a pencil, Captain?" said Lord Vetinari innocently. "No, he's not," said Vimes. "Do you actually have a hurdle?" "No," snapped Vimes. "No? Well, I believe there's a sports equipment shop in Shear Street, just in case," Sir Samuel. A figure walked across the trampled sand near Gebra and paused when a voice very near ground level said hopefully,
"Bingley, bingley, beep."
The disorganizer felt itself being picked up.
"What kind of a thing are you?"
"I am the disorganizer Mark II, with many handy, hard-to-use features. Insert name here."
"Such as?"
Even the disorganizer's tiny mind felt slightly uneasy. The voice it was speaking to didn't sound right.
"I know what time it is everywhere,"
it ventured.
"So do I."
I can maintain an up-to-the-minute contacts directory."
The disorganizer felt movements that suggested the new owner had mounted a horse.
"Really? I have a great many contacts."
"There you are, then,"
said the demon, trying to hold on to its rapidly draining enthusiasm.
"So I make a note of them, and when you want to contact them again..."
"That is generally not necessary. Mostly, they stay contacted."
"Well, do you have many appointments?"
There were hoofbeats, and then no sound but rushing wind.
"More than you could possibly imagine. No, I think perhaps your talents could be better employed elsewhere."
There was more rushing wind and then a splash. The rat's chamber was crowded. Guild leaders were entitled to be there, but there were plenty of other people who considered that they had a right to be in at the death, too. There were even some of the senior wizards. Everyone wanted to be able to say to their grandchildren, "I was there." Although, of course, wizards aren't allowed to, because they're not supposed to have grandchildren.
"I feel certain I ought to be wearing more chains," said Vetinari as they paused in the doorway and looked at the assembled crowd.
"Are you taking this seriously, sir?" said Vimes.
"Incredibly seriously, Commander, I assure you. But if by some chance I survive, I authorize you to buy some shackles. We must learn to do this sort of thing properly."
"I shall keep them handy, I assure you."
"Good."
The patrician nodded at Lord Rust, who was flanked by Mr. Boggis and Lord Downey.
"Good morning," he said. "Can we make this quick? It's going to be a busy day."
"It pleases you to continue to make Ankh-Morpork a laughingstock,"
Rust began. His glance flicked to Vimes for a moment and wrote him out of the universe.
"This is not a formal trial, Lord Vetinari. It is an arraignment so that the charges may be known. Mr. Slant tells me that it will be many weeks before a full trial can be mounted."
"Expensive weeks, no doubt. Shall we get on with it?"
said Vetinari.
"Mr. Slant will read the charges," said Rust. "But in a nutshell, as you are well aware, Havelock, you are charged with treason. You surrendered most ignobly."
"But I did not."
"And quite illegally waived all rights to our sovereignty of the country known as Leshp."
"But there is no such place."
Lord Rust paused.
"Are you quite sane, sir?"
"The surrender terms were to be ratified on the island of Leshp, Lord Rust. There is no such place."
"We passed it on the way here, man."
"Has anyone looked recently?"
Angua tapped Vimes on the shoulder.
"A strange wave came up the river just after we arrived, sir."
There was some urgent conversation among the wizards, and Arch-Chancellor Ridcully stood up.
There seems to be a bit of a problem, your lordship. The Dean says it really isn't there."
"It's an island. Are you suggesting someone's stolen it? Are you sure you know where it is, man?"
"We do know where it is, and it isn't there. There's just a lot of seaweed and wreckage," said the Dean coldly.
He stood up, holding a small crystal ball in his hands.
"We've been watching it most evenings, for the fights, you know. Of course, the picture is pretty bad at this distance."
Rust stared at him, but the Dean was too large to be written out of the scene.